All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'ma make you dance, dance. I'ma triple drink. I'ma make you bounce, bounce so hard until you break your neck. I'ma keep it drunk and drunk. I'ma space your dick, face, face, hit, hit, hit so hard, hard that you feel it in your bed. Miss, 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 and I, we music fit. 10 years later, watch the dynamic do, do, do reconnect. 120 million souls, souls. Ain't them niggas back. I like to see how many niggas out there, there that can do, do that.
The evening showdown with me and Troy.
What up?
What's up? Anthony, we back in here, Dollhouse Radio.
All right, you know how we do. I love that song, man. Missy Triple Threat, I didn't even want to cut it off.
Yeah.
You know, we triple threats around here.
Triple, quadruples, super droppers, all types of stuff.
Exactly. Well, you know, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Evening Showdown brought to you by Dollhouse Radio. I'm your girl, Angelique Bates, and you're listening to Troy Da Vinci. So, yo, we've got some guests for you. We've got Nyre All Day. We got Sam Sawtung, and we got Carlton Jordan coming in with his Hollywood gossip. So you definitely got to stay tuned for that. But, man, let's talk about the elections. Let's talk about that.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah.
What did I tell y'all last week? The junk is rigged. But, okay, go ahead.
Man, you know what? Okay, because you know I worked the polls. This is my first time, and
I definitely wanted
to be out there.
You worked the polls.
The voting poll.
Voting poll. Just making sure we got to clear that up for our listeners.
You know what? Good looking, because it would have been all over the internet. So
I was working the voting polls, ladies and gentlemen. All
right, where are they now? But yeah, I was in the voting polls, and you know, after working there, it definitely changed how I will be voting. The next time we have to vote, because one thing I didn't know for provisional that doesn't count immediately. It counts like within 2 weeks, and it actually goes through a whole bunch of hands. Yeah, it goes through a whole bunch of hands, and they have to do the research and do research on you, find out if you're actually registered. And it's like a whole bunch of stuff, and to me, it like leaves a lot of openings for things to happen and not happen. Electoral votes count right then and there, which is pretty much what they were looking at when they, you know, announced that Obama won. Those are the ones that count, like, right then and there. But this is what I was noticing was a lot of problems. This year, they switched everybody's polling place, wherever they, you know, they used to vote regularly. And there weren't notices, and people were thrown off. So what ended up happening was some people didn't want to leave after they had just gotten off work and came to our place to vote. They didn't want to drive like a couple blocks down. So what ended up happening is instead of them being an electoral vote, they ended up being provisionals. So there were a lot of provisionals. Like just for where I was at, it was over 100 provisionals. And a lot of those could have been regular electoral votes. And, you know, it was just crazy because it was people like, I've been voting here for 40 years. And we're just like, no, we understand that. You're not the only one. And, I mean, it was people who had just registered. Their names weren't on the list. So they ended up being provisionals. It was just, like, really crazy. Like, I actually left and went to mines on my lunch break. And, you know, I wasn't going to do a provisional because I was just like, wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, I definitely learned a lot. I mean, some other things that I'm not at liberty to talk about.
Why not?
Because they had us, you swear.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know. You said like a gaggle. It's certain things that we can't talk about. Like the provisional electoral, that's about as far as I could talk about. But as far as things that were going on with the employees and stuff that just wasn't cool, I can't even talk about it. Yeah, it was some stuff that wasn't cool.
So, listeners, if you guys have anything about this, please call in about this election. Also, if we can get enough callers to ask Angelique to spill her beans, we would all appreciate that. You know, she don't be hiding nothing out on us. Gotta get us for real.
No, I mean, you know, I it depends on if more people call in and request for me to talk about it, then I will. But people have to call in and request, and then I will spill more of the beans.
All right. Well, I want to talk about pretty much a derivative of what you're talking about of the Prop 37, as far mm-hmm. as the modified foods. The MGOs, and for people that don't know what that is, unless you're born in a small country somewhere where they don't have, grocery stores or McDonald's, chances are you had tasted or eaten modified genetic foods. For McDonald's to actually have so many arches and so many French fries being delivered a day, they have to modify the potatoes to grow faster for McDonald's. So if you ever ate a McDonald's fry from probably 95 or today, you probably ate a modified fry that's genetically grown. Now, we have a choice, I thought, in this country where we can say, well, if I don't want that modified food, I can skip that. You know, if it's on the shelves, I can see what it is. Cool. But the guys over there of the powers that be are making so much money, they feel that if that passed, the 37, if it passed, it will affect their bottom line, which, you know, we don't want to affect their bottom line. This is all about money. Now, at the same time, I went on their website, and they're spelling it out for you. They're saying, hey, they're talking directly to the farmer, not us. But I went in there like I was a farmer, and see what they're telling the farmers, and they're basically telling the farmers, yo, we can make you more money because we have higher yields on our seeds. Our seeds are trademarked through the Patent and Trademark Attorney Office, so you cannot use our seeds again unless we tell you to. And also we're using breeding. They use the term breeding and genetically modified.
So, wow.
They're creating Frankensteins in the kitchen or in the laboratory, and we bring it home, and we don't know the long-term effects of this stuff yet. I'm starting to see it already with the way people are developing and growing faster. And like I said, children are becoming they reach puberty at an earlier age. Diabetes, heart disease is a big killer in America, and it's a lot because we're not aware of what we eat. And we're not taught the right way to eat. So this was a blow to me. When I woke up and found out that didn't pass, I was hot. Mm-hmm. Because we have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, some time ago there wasn't a nutrition fact on the back of canned foods or stuff like that like it is today. I'm looking at my ancient mama original syrup, nutrition facts, calories 210, no protein, carbs 52 grams. Now, imagine not ever seeing that. That was a day in the 80s. They did not, and they fought not to put that on there. Finally, they got that on there. They fought not to put the nutritional facts on McDonald's. They thought that would ruin McDonald's. No, there's still unconscious people that will still eat McDonald's, even if it says rat lab-tested meat, they will still eat it. And they say if you want to keep the people oppressed, put it in writing. They're not going to read it anyway. I don't know why they're tripping about putting genetically name tag stuff on our food so we'll know. At least I don't want to eat that today. Maybe I don't like eating double twin cow legs today. Maybe not.
Yeah,
but
see.
What do you think about that, Angela? You voted yes or no on that?
Yeah. Like, I was surprised. I found out it didn't pass when I woke up and I saw you on my timeline talking about it. Because I have kids. So I want to know what I'm feeding my kids. I want to know what I'm feeding myself because as we get older, our bodies don't function the way they used to when we were in our teens and our early 20s. So I'm way more conscious. And like you said, I mean, that stuff is like being made. I want to know, because like we were talking about, what was it, last show, how these kids aren't looking like kids anymore, and people are like, oh, I don't know why they're not looking, you know, a certain way. And then diabetes and all this health, and then they're going to the doctors and they're getting pumped with medicine, and then they're still wondering why they're still not getting better. It's because of what you're eating. You're poisoning the insides of your body, but some of you knowingly don't know that's what you're doing. But if these labels had been put on the food, then you would have known that if you had voted on it. And one thing I did notice about the voting is that a lot of people were coming in and they were just voting for the president. Like, a lot of the ballots were completely blank for the most part. So, yeah, it was cool. Everybody voted for, you know, whichever president they voted for, but there were still other important issues that needed to be voted on, and they weren't.
Somebody
would
feel like
think,
it was?
Right.
Oh, snap.
Right. And someone told me that they were in a rush to get to work. So they were just like, I just came in to, you know, vote for the president. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, we're not at liberty to really say anything. But I'm just like, hey, okay. So you have all of these blanks. And like I said, there were a lot. There were some people who were double voting, which that throws out your ballot. There were some people who, I guess, weren't pushing hard enough. And it was just completely blank, period. So they had to redo it. And then some just got frustrated and were just like, forget it. But it's like, there's more. Hmm?
The whole real thing about it, like I told a few of my friends, I think that might have been, this year was my last year of voting. Because
right.
I split tested this, and I said to myself, I know majority of people would like to know if their food is being genetically modified. So I knew that should pass. Now, I told myself, if this doesn't pass, this is an example that God is showing me that the system is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And when it passed, it was like, I'm not tripping about, I know the underground train, whatever they're trying to create in California, a train way or something underneath the ground, I knew that's going to pass. Because anytime they can make excuses about tax dollars and to put it in there, they're going to do that. I don't understand why you're going to make an underground train system like it's New York down here when we live in Earthquake County. That don't make sense to me, but I knew they're going to pass it anyway. I just don't know why they're going to put it in a prop, because you guys already had it determined to pass it. But I guess they're still thinking, oh, let's make them think it's a democracy. And it's not a democracy here, ladies and gentlemen. Voting is really a poll. And as much as I hate to say this, and it hurts me to say this, voting is not what it used to be.
Mm-mm.
They already had it set up, rigged from the beginning. And because one thing, if they took voting out of this country, and I told my friend Michael this, people can, everybody want to see it with their eyes. I got to see it to believe it. Of course, you want to see it to believe it, but people got to use their third eye, their mind, to figure out what they're doing, then you'll see exactly what they're doing. Because if they took voting out, everybody can see something physically being taken away from them. They're like, oh, wait a minute. You stop voting in this country? What the hell is going on? But if they keep voting and they change stuff behind, if you can't see what they're doing behind the scenes, then that shows they can do more power to some people than what they can do physically. Because as long as people physically can see other people going to the polls, it's business as usual, but it's not. Because people are still looking with their eyes, and what they need to do is look in their mind and think about it. Like, wait a minute, why? Because I did this really, I want to vote because of people that fought for voting, died over this right, even though they wasn't aware of what they was doing. But I did it on that strength, but at the same time, I was like, I'm going to do it. Because I knew Obama was already going to get in because it's too many people that want that, and it would have been an uproar. And what the powers that be don't want is an uproar in this country.
Right.
That's why they keep voting around, so people think it's, so they see, it's a poll. If they can see Obama and all the people in the country wants Obama to win, they ain't going to be stupid to put Obama out. The jig is up. They're like, wait a minute, everybody start waking up. Man, as long as the masses are sleeping, we can get away with it. Or it's kind of like when you have children, you know you don't tell them the truth about everything yet. I know you still believe, they probably still believe about Christmas and the Easter eggs and, of course, you don't take that away from them. Well, that's how they treat us, like children. One woman said, we ain't ready to hear about modified genetic foods yet. She said, you know, the consumer is like children, she said. They're not, we have to educate them first before we can put it on the back of our foods and stuff. What? They said, so we're children in them, just like you. So they make you believe certain things in voting and policies like that. And us, like children, will be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another analogy. If you put your kids in a room full of the same age kids, and all of them are talking about Christmas except one. One is, why are you hating on Christmas? The one knows the truth. Hey, dog, it ain't no such thing as Christmas. And all the kids are mad. Like, what are you talking about? Because they're all about 5, 6 years old. What the fuck are you talking about? There's no Christmas. Well, and he knows the truth, and he's trying to tell the other kids the truth. What are they going to do? The other kids are going to crucify that kid. They're
mm-hmm.
going to clown them. They're going to kick them out of the room. They're going to do whatever because they don't want to believe that there's no Santa Claus. And for you kids, I know there's no kids listening to this. Our show,
right.
So I can say that.
Right, I'm like, oh my God, what?
Wait, what are you saying, man? What are you saying? So,
right.
So that's the same thing with politics and other things, even religion. If you say something that you found truth and facts and they don't believe that, oh, they're going to clown and crucify you. And that's what it is. I get crucified every time for that voting stuff, but I have found and shown facts that the government is doing that. So just do your own research on that, ladies and gentlemen. The Prop 37 not passing just shows that they don't care about you. They don't care if you grow three breasts. They don't care if your child comes to this out the form or all these new symptoms that, you know, diseases they have and all this from the genetically modified food. They don't care about that because
mm-hmm.
they know their kids ain't eating that shit.
Yeah, right. They're really not. They're like,
oh,
what?
Billy, don't touch that canned food. I told you about that. They grow that in another swamp in another country. Don't eat that shit.
Granddaddy, exactly. This is our company, right?
Yeah, but don't
right.
eat it. They'll kill you.
Right, and that's so real. People don't even realize how true that statement is right there. So, yeah, I think that statement might have been too real for the show. You
yeah.
know?
Y'all tired.
You know?
That's real talk.
Man, yeah, definitely. I definitely learned a lot. But I'm glad, you know, Mr. Obama made it a second term. I'm happy.
Obama. Hi, Obama. What's up, Obama?
Yeah, you
hi,
know.
Obama and your family, you know.
And have you seen all the funny Instagram pictures and everything that they've been having? Let me reintroduce myself.
Yeah. You are not with the one with you're not
right.
the president. And then the other one with Obama and his wife, she's doing something like, look like she's scratching something off his nose, but it looks like her hands is on his nose, and it's like, yeah, if you beat Romney, smell this. You smell this?
Yes.
That has me crying.
Yeah, there's another one they have where she has a surprised look on her face, and he's like supposed to be whispering something nasty in her ear. I was like,
oh yeah, I've seen that one, yeah. That's...
And then, you know, of course, they had to do the Sesame Street one. So, oh, okay, speaking of Sesame Street, so did you just hear, because I just saw it yesterday, that supposedly the guy who is the voice of Elmo has just did a leave from the show because he's being accused of statutory rape.
Not bad. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I was going to watch him on Netflix. Now I'm thinking he's around that stuff so much, he's probably like, hey, go ahead and try to see some.
Right, it's crazy.
Is he accused?
He's accused. They haven't prosecuted him yet, so the allegations are out.
All right, so he's not, he's accused, so we can't redeem him like they do me in court.
Yeah. Right. So. I think the boy is like 16 years old or something. But it's still fresh. Like I said, I literally just saw it like last night, and you know they're gonna investigate. But that really
so he's messing. They're saying he's messing with little boys.
Yeah.
Man, that's bad. Messing with little girls are messing with anything little is bad. But when it's little boys, that's
it kills
little,
it even more.
That's even bad. That's even worse. Like that's not all good.
Right. And, you know, my kids, they have everything Elmo level. So he has an Elmo bed, and it's just, it's crazy. Like, I really hope there's no truth to it because that's just going to be really awkward. But, So, I mean, I grew up on Sesame Street, and it's kind of sad because Sesame Street, when you think of it, you think of, you know, positive. You know, it's like one of the very few shows that seemed kind of like, you know, family-oriented and pure since we were like little kids compared to all the crap they've got on TV now. And then it just seems like it's constantly one thing after another because it seemed like it was a few years back something happened. And there were some kind of allegations, but I think it was proven that it was false because I never really heard anything else about it. But, you know, that's really unfortunate because, like I said, we don't really have that many decent shows out there that are family-oriented. I mean, the other stations, I mean, even Nickelodeon, they have their kid shows, but, I mean, it's SpongeBob and, you know, other shows. It still has somewhat adult themes to it. It's just not straight clean, and it's not really, like, teaching the kids ABCs and all that stuff, you know? It's like you can put on Sesame Street and walk out the room, okay? You can't do that with the other stations.
Elmo, man. So it's like now it's Tickle Me Elmo now. It's like I hear, you know, they got a new Elmo called Elmo Tickles You Back Elmo. Like, no, he ain't going to be tickling my kids.
Right.
they can tickle him, but he can't tickle back.
Right. Hilarious. Yeah. So I guess it's all about Big Bird, and now I guess they're going to be paying more attention to Big Bird. But I'm hoping there's really, you know, no truth to it, like I said, because that would really, really, really suck. But hey, have you, did you see the new cover with Rihanna on it?
Yes, with the tattoo that she got under her breast. And the whole, that's a GQ, right? That's the GQ one you're talking about?
Yes, yes. Yeah, she's killing it. She's killing it right now. That cover just like, I don't even know what to say. I'm just like speechless. I just pulled it up just now. I'm just like, wow.
Would you do that type of cover, Angelique?
Would I? Yeah, actually, I did. Well, I didn't do a cover. I did a photo shoot.
Just like that, Elmo on your, tatted Elmo on, under your breast, just like that, just.
Tatted
good.
Elmo? No, I'm not doing a tatted Elmo. You are hilarious. No, that's a tatted Elmo. No. I did the Janet Jackson kind of thing with, you know, with the denim jeans and just minus the guy holding the boobs. You know, it was with my back was showing and everything. Yeah. I did that whole thing. But I love that tattoo that she has. I, you know, if I wasn't a punk when it comes to, like, needles, I would get a tattoo like that.
Do you have a tattoo?
Yeah, I do have a tattoo.
No, I don't think so. Guilty as charged.
No, I have a tattoo. I just, I'm getting, it's in the process of getting removed.
Why did you want to remove something that you knew that you wanted for life?
Because we all have those silly moments when we're young and dumb, and we...
11 years old.
You said
what? Okay. Oh, I'm about 10, 11.
No, but you know, I got a tattoo. I wasn't drunk like, you know, the sellers, and they end up in the bar and they get a crazy tattoo or whatever with someone's name and a big old heart or whatever. But I got a tattoo that I want removed. It actually was in the process of getting removed, but when I had got pregnant, I couldn't, you know, get the laser removal treatment anymore. So I just ended up pretty much pausing, and I never went back to doing it. So I'm going to finish getting it done.
Well, how much something like that go for when somebody wants to change their mind on tattoos?
Well, a lot of people refer to just get it covered up. Like a lot of people would say, oh, we can just cover it up or whatever. That normally it can be 100 and up depending on what you're getting. Like I have it on my ankle, so I would have to get something bigger or bigger and thicker, they said. And
bigger.
If you're in the – If you're in the industry, it's kind of like you don't want something that huge on your ankle, depending on what kind of work you do. Some people don't care, but a lot of casting directors prefer that clean image. So that would not work for me, getting a huge band or a big old rose on my ankle. It would be a lot better for me to just, you know, remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Laser removal, for my treatments, it was almost $100. Each treatment, and I did about 4 of them, and I believe I had like 5 more to do. You can get it done all at once, but I didn't have, you know, I had other things I want to do, and I just really don't want to go through that pain, because what they do is with the installments, they crank up the, you know, the intensity of it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't go and give me no tattoos when I thought I wanted one, because I'll probably have Spider-Man dribbling a basketball on my arm somewhere. That's what I was going to see at the time.
Oh, wow, you are hilarious.
Yeah. Spider-Man doing a Tim Hardaway or Iverson crossover. Or something, you know? So I'm glad I didn't do that, because I am completely from that era of what I was thinking at that time. Because one thing about tattoos, is, which kind of throws me off, is I can't speak for everyone else, but I'm always revolving as a person. Tomorrow I'm going to be somebody different than I am today. So if I get a tattoo, it's going to constantly remind me who I was on a particular day, a particular week, a particular month, of a particular year, which I'm like, damn, I forgot. I was thinking about apple pie or Chinese writing this time in my life, and every day I look at it, I got to remind myself, hey, nigga, remember when you were thinking about this and you wanted that? So I don't do that. That's the only reason why. Nothing against people with tattoos. That's just me. I just couldn't. It's like a blood sacrifice, you know, and a lot of my friends got corporations like Rolex and Cutlass on their bodies, and I have my own corporation. I wouldn't even put gnarly apps on myself at all. I mean, I created that from my own brain.
Right.
You know.
I definitely agree. Well, shoot, let's go ahead and see who's on the line, because, you know, you are tuned into the Evening Showdown, brought to you by Dollhouse Radio. Our first guest is Nairae Audet, and I have known her forever, and she's a very, very talented young lady, and I will let her tell you more about herself. Hello.
What's poppin', people?
Hey. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. I'm glad that you guys asked me to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
No doubt. I know, Biggie. I've known Angelique for, like, ever and ever, so it's all of us.
Right. We go back like babies and pacifiers.
Yeah, I'm like, for you. I love this show.
Thank you. Well, for those that haven't known you forever, you know, introduce yourself to our viewers.
Well, I am the infamous Nairae Audet, for those of you who do not know. You know, I do cool stuff. I'm a singer, rapper, songwriter, and I've got an album coming out next year, so you've got to make sure that you stay tuned for that. And I've had a couple records that came out this year. One is called Inside Out, and the other one is called Hella Bad, which actually did really well on the dance charts this year on Billboard, so make sure you go check out those videos on Viva. It's going to be very cool. Much more cool stuff coming, though.
congrats on that. I was, like, so hyped when I saw that you had the record deal. I was like, oh, my God, that's her, that's my own girl. I Instagrammed the Viva homepage. I was like, yes.
I love you. I mean, anybody who is, like, in this, whether it's music or it's acting or whatever, like, we all understand, like, it just takes, you know, it takes a while to make sure that you're, you know, going to do well in your industry and not just, like, come out and then disappear. So I've been working at the longevity thing, and it's really cool that it's all panning out right now.
Right. And, you know, speaking of that, because we've both been in it for a minute, like, what would be your advice, especially to anyone that wants to get into the music business? Because the music business is a little bit different from the acting, because I always get that question. You started out songwriting, right?
Yeah, I started out songwriting. and, I mean, it's just a process. My advice to anybody would be, don't expect it to come overnight, you know? Everybody feels like you're ready at this particular moment. Like, if you would ask me 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh, I'm totally ready. I'm ready to come out now.
Mm-hmm.
But my advice is just enjoy the process. Enjoy the journey. Understand that, you know, if it's going to be worthwhile, it's going to take a while. And, you know, try not to get frustrated with the fact that things aren't happening as soon as you want. And when you do, just, you know, accept it as a part of the process. But the most important thing is just to keep your vision strong on what you really want and then keep working at it every day. Just keep working at it. And you never know. It might be something you do today, might be something you do next year, but eventually it's going to pay off. Eventually it's going to come back. So my advice is to be patient and keep on working hard. Don't worry about the time.
And okay. Because I always know that you've always had a unique style. When you got signed, did you let the labels change your style, or like, you know, how did that go? Because that's a lot of issues that people run into when they come into the industry. Like, they might have wanted one look, but then they let the industry completely flip them around to something else that really wasn't them.
Right. Yeah. Man, it's really, really hard though, because, you know, there's a fine line that you have to learn how to be able to take advice from other people and understand that sometimes you think you know it all and you really don't. So, you know, it's being open to what other people have to say, constructive criticism, even like deconstructive criticism is a type of motivation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also understanding who you really are and knowing that as long as you keep trying to get better at who you are, maybe people aren't going to see it right off of the top, but just keep making your vision stronger, and you know, eventually there's going to be certain things that you have to bend on, you have to compromise on. But, you know, just try to stay as close to what you see yourself as. A lot of times you have to make sacrifices and do, you know, certain things that you don't want to. Like, as a songwriter, I didn't necessarily want to do it, you know, like that. I wanted to put my own album out, but doing that led to, you know, people being able to trust me and say, oh, you know what, she's really good, maybe we should give her a deal, you know.
Right.
So we always got to do things you don't want to do, and sometimes that's just a part of the game. You got to just go with the flow and see what's going on, but don't do anything you're completely against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I took so much time on myself without worrying about, you know, trying to get a record deal, I just wanted to be the best that I could be before I got a record deal. When it finally happened, it was kind of already put together, so they trusted my vision. They kind of let me do what I want to do. So I'm blessed to not really have that problem. I'm blessed to not have them try to change me. And it, I think it's really because I took my time and didn't rush into a situation, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. So do you have some type of legal team behind you when you're doing your contracts or doing...
Oh, definitely. I would never recommend anybody do any contracts if you don't have a good attorney. And make sure that they're an entertainment attorney, too, because a regular attorney can give you advice, but if they're not in that field on a regular basis, they could give you bad advice. So I would say never sign any paper. If anybody's interested, you know, ask and say, hey, it's cool, I'll get back to you with my attorney, and go find your attorney really fast. Don't sign anything on your own.
Now, but what about family attorneys? Like, well, my aunt can do it and look over this for me. Do you recommend family that is in the business a little bit, or you completely separate yourself from family?
No, actually, my mom is an attorney, and she's an excellent attorney. She's not an entertainment attorney, but I definitely have her look over my stuff. But I would also say that having an entertainment attorney is different than any other field. So the rules are a lot different when it comes to entertainment. So I would always recommend have an entertainment attorney on hand. They're expensive. So if you have a family attorney, definitely have your family attorney look over it first. But I would say, you know, do what you can to get, even if you just got to pay a flat fee, but just make sure that somebody looks over your paperwork.
Yeah.
Right.
It's worth it.
It's
to get stuck in for 5 years or 10.
Yeah.
Have that LL Cool J contract. 10-year album on one label.
Hey, he's still rolling, so, man, I ain't too mad at him. But,
right.
I mean,
he has it's to.
Too, 10-year
contract.
So. Yeah. Everybody trying to get their money, so be careful.
Yeah, right. That's definitely real. Well, let's go ahead and drop this single of yours, Hella Bad, because I heard Lose My Mind. Oh, my God, that's already my ringtone. Remember I told you that? So every time people will call me, I'll be like, oh, I have a missed call. Okay, wait a minute. Call me back.
I love it.
Yes, so we might... Huh?
You got to... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Y'all got to do the same thing as Angelique. She's got it as her ringtone. You guys totally have to download it on iTunes. So make sure you do that after. But you can do it right now, too.
Right, yeah. I would say do it right now. Do it after. Do it while you cooking, brushing your teeth. I don't care what you do. Just do it. And then when you're done doing Lose My Mind, do Hella Bad. And we about to drop it right here on the Evening Showdown, brought to you by Dow House Radio.
Woo-woo.
Think you want it back, back.
Right now.
You know what else is cool about that song? I have a there's a remix EP. We got like 7 remixes from these different remixes. It's really, really awesome remixes.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not to, like, toot my own horn, even though I am going to toot my own horn. No, like, when I'm in the gym, like, something about the lyrics, it's like, if you really want it, just say you want it hella bad.
Right.
I'm like, I really do want these apps hella bad, you know?
So
if you download the remix EP, it's about 45 minutes, and each song is a little bit different. Well, not a little bit. Each song is very different because they're all different remixes, but it's an excellent workout EP, so, you know, just keep in mind when you're working out, you want to work out hella bad.
Okay, yeah, I need to go ahead and start working out to that, because I was over here like, oh, shoot, I'm on live. Hold on. I'm getting in over here.
Okay. But, that might work.
Right. But, you know, tell the viewers where they can find you, you know, your links and any shows you got coming up, you know, all the works.
Yeah. Okay, so I know everybody's got Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, I'm sure. If you're not, you're living under a rock and come out of there. But you can find me at either of those three at Nairay All Day. And the way that you spell this is very simple. Nairay looks like fire, but with an N. And then All Day is like normal All Day, but with an I instead of a Y. I know it sounds like a lot, but if you think about it, it's super easy.
Oh.
But,
okay.
So, yes, Nairay All Day at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can check out my videos. They're on, it's youtube.com, Nairay All Day, Devo. So, yeah, check me out there. And I talk to everybody, so if you hit me up, I'll definitely hit you back.
That's cool. And her Twitter is verified, so if it's not verified, it's not her.
You know what I'm saying?
How do you get that Twitter verified? I need to verify mine.
Everybody says that. I don't know. Somebody at the label did it for me, so it's not bootleg. It's real.
Right. Well, before we let you go, can you give a shout-out to the Evening Showdown on Owlhouse Radio?
Definitely. This is Nairay All Day, people, and you're here with the Dollhouse Radio. And make sure you stay tuned. We've got a lot of cool stuff happening on the Nairay All Day movement and the Dollhouse Radio movement. So keep it locked.
All right.
Boom. All right, Nairay, thank you so much for stopping through the neighborhood.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me, you guys. It was awesome.
All right. Go far. I wish you all the best.
Thanks so much, guys. Peace.
All right. Bye.
See you later. We keep it pushing on the Dollhouse Radio.
You know how we do. Man, I love that song. Hella bad. So you going to start working out to it?
Oh, yeah. I got to get back to working out first. That's the first things first, you know.
He said, like, hold up. He said, I need to work out first. Hold up.
Yeah, I've been out of the gym. I ain't going to lie. You wasn't with me when I was shooting in the gym.
You are hilarious. You know what? There's a topic that I wanted to talk about. It has to do with relationships.
Yes.
I want to know, what's up with all the... Okay, so apparently it's like the end thing to still use people for their money. Apparently.
No, you don't say.
No, shut up. Anyway, but I mean, they really going hard in the paint, like really investing like a year or two and like really doing the side chick on the side, though. Like, I mean, the game is like getting a little bit sicker. I'm like baffled by it. Like, it didn't used to be quite like that. I mean, yeah, people are always using people, but I mean, they really like living double lives now, and the game is getting younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
where you get your statistics from? The game is
getting. He said, "Where I get my statistics from?" Well,
really?
I had
is
friends.
A poll out there?
You stupid. I have friends of friends that are in their early 20s doing dirt.
Oh.
Yeah. And there's one situation in particular where I think it's like the chick is 24. The chick is like 23, 24, but she's like just tricking off money on this dude. And he's like just using her, but he's living double lives. Lives. Notice I said lives, like plural. Like there's more than one side chick on the side.
Okay. All right.
So I mean, I don't get it. Like, just
now,
make
you
your own money. Hmm?
Do you think this is a issue, a young issue thing? Like, oh, young people are going to experiment and do silly stuff like that in their 20s, or is this something that's just embedded in them and they don't do it in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and regardless?
You see, I always thought, I mean, I always knew it was issues like with different ages, but it just really seems like it's starting to get younger because a lot of the young girls are just like, I guess, using money to get the guys. I guess they're thinking that money is what's going to keep them. I mean, it's keeping some of them, but they're not realizing you can't really buy a marriage, you know? I mean, you're really, if you do make it to the wedding, you're buying a divorce, to be quite honest, because once the money runs out or whatever, you know what I'm saying, he's going to get done, he's going to get tired. So it's like, what are you marrying? It's not love, you know? And it's just, that's just like crazy to me. And I really feel like people just need to get to know each other better. And these females really do need to stop, you know, calling. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm seeing stuff popping up on this thing. They
stop
calling. Right, they stop calling me. Right, no, right? No, they need to really just stop calling each other like, oh, this is my husband, this is my wife, like within the first month or so. Like, no. Can y'all wait to get past the 5, 6, 7 months, maybe the year, and then see if this is somebody you want to be with before you start spending your whole bank account? I mean, maybe that's just me. I don't know. What's your opinion?
Well, I'm old school, so I have the same pretty much ideas with it. People tend to, you know, get with each other and then get married, or like, you know, Lamar and Chloe. You know, I was at the grocery store earlier today, and I saw that. They're supposed to, you know, I don't know if it's true, but they're getting divorced. But
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking to myself, well, they learned each other while they were married to each other. They didn't learn each other first and then got married. So, and I mean, especially being under the spotlight and people trying to break up your relationship puts a strain on it. But, I mean, for me, I didn't do that extreme where I was using women because when I was growing up, I mean, that was like early, late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Women really didn't have money like that. They was looking at us for the money. So I didn't have that problem. I always dated older women, but I never really had to do all that, you know, for the get with the woman for the money and then live a double life. If she was doing what she was supposed to do, I'll tell the woman straight up what I liked, and if she was smart enough, she should be listening when I tell her on the phone what I like. And if she was doing it, that's why I want other women. So, but
right.
Double lives, especially if the thing I have a problem is if you homosexual or whatever, and you are confused, like I don't know if I want to be completely, or I want to be a bisexual person, you at least should give your partner and be open with them because you might be dipping around by you coming back and you're not telling your partner what you're doing. I think that's just not appropriate. And I think it's not truthful. Because whatever you do, I mean, that's on you. It doesn't matter to me. But
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I think you should have a common respect and a common courtesy to tell the person, yo, I like to dip this way sometimes when the night is young or whatever excuse you're using in society.
Right.
You know, when the full moon is out, I like to go out and do my thing or whatever. But at least tell them that.
Right. And do not, like, just tell everybody you love. Like, if you don't use that, because I always tell people those are, like, the three deadly words. Like, I tell my brothers all the time. If you don't mean I love you, do not say it. Because you want to see
God.
A girl flip mode.
That's a dangerous word.
Man.
It's like, that's a trump card.
Right. Because half the time, females get emotions quicker. So they're already there. They may not have told you yet, but you say it, it's a wrap. So you find yourself trying to drive off to work one day and you just hearing metal on the pavement, you know what happened. I'm just saying. If you are at home trying to sleep and you feel a breeze coming through the window because you're missing one, you know what happened.
I'm telling you, this is for all the guys. I have friends when he's growing up. They use
mm-hmm.
that word to get what they wanted, and it was usually sex. But if you can't get sex without saying that word, the game is garbage, straight up. It shouldn't take that word for you to get and sleep with a woman, because now you're putting emotion in her mind now. You're giving her something else that's not true. Sex, you know, if you tell her like it is, yo, I want this and that, and, you know, I don't love you, you know, I can grow to love you, but just saying that to try to get her, and a lot of young kids do this, when I mean in their teens, because they don't know what love is, puppy love, and they throwing that out just to try to get sex, but they're young. But it's people like me, late 20s, mid-20s, still using that stuff. Yeah, I'm going to say I love her because I'm trying to get laid tonight, you know.
Trust me.
This is still the deal. No, you're not aiming tight.
Right. Because nowadays, low-key, trust me, you don't even need to say that. You can give a girl a Happy Meal and it's all to the gravy. I mean, I'm sorry to be that blunt, but that's how easy it has gotten. It's not even hard anymore.
Nope.
You can give her.
If you can't even give her a Happy Meal, something wrong with your game.
Right. Oh, my God. Please tell me. Okay, so me and my sister, we went to this boba place last night. I'm not sure if you had a boba before, but those boba drinks where it's like they have like the little balls at the bottom of the drink.
Oh,
it's like a little Chinese drink.
Okay,
well, we went for a boba, and there was this chick that came in with, I think they were on a date or something, I don't know, but she came in with this dude, and we're sitting there drinking our bobas, and she's at the cash register, and he sits down, and we just start hearing a whole bunch of change, like literally coins just hitting the counter. So we look up, because like the bobas, I think, were like $5 or whatever, and it was like a lot of change. Like, she's just counting change. But she keeps turning around looking at him, and he's like off in another world, like, kind of had this look like, don't look at me for anything, you know? And we're just sitting there like, oh, my God, is he really going to let her count this change for this drink? He would not even get her to boba drink. And it was kind of funny because she came over, and you could just tell she was super mad. And she was just like, how rude. And just like, and just got up with her drink. He followed behind her, and they, like, walked out the door. I was just like, wow, but you're probably still going to give him some at the end of the night. That's crazy. Like, he couldn't even get her $5 to get her bubble drink. Like, she literally, it was coins falling. And I was just like, wow, it's real in the streets.
Real.
Like, if that was you, Trey, would you have gone ahead and covered it and bought her drink?
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't, she'll know that before we go out that night. But that's embarrassing for you, her, and the person that's listening to y'all.
So, right, listening to the change.
Right, that's awkward.
Right, I was just like, wow, I couldn't even believe it. But then it was just like another guy and his girl, he's like, he bought her like a Oreo cupcake. He bought her a boba. Like, they were having this intellectual conversation. It was so hilarious. Like, you could tell that he doesn't normally, I guess, go that far with conversation, but you could tell it was all a game, that he was, like, just trying to, like, get laid. Like, the girl was, like, sitting there with, like, no bra. It was super freezing cold in the boba place. So she was, like, super at alert. And they're sitting here talking about Shakespeare, and he's looking like, I don't give a damn about Shakespeare. I just want to do
Thou does not have the money.
Right, but he actually put in the effort, though. Like, he went and got the cupcake, the boba. Like, it was just so fun to see the different dates that were there. But let's see. I think we have a caller on the line. Let me see what it says.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Sam.
What's up?
What's going on, Sam?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Right. It's for those that don't know who you are, please introduce yourself to our viewers.
Sam Sarpong, actor, model, television host, rapper. You know, we try to do a few things.
Papa Collar. Man, we've known each other forever.
Yeah, we go way back. We definitely been in this business working hard for a long time.
Matter of fact, all three of us, we did Living the Cost of Things.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Union.
It's definitely a reunion right now. So, man, you've been doing, you've been overseas, doing the music, still the modeling. Aren't you guys in syndication for Yo Mama right now?
Yeah, we've been in syndication for a long time, probably like two and a half years now.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're in syndication worldwide with that. And then, you know, just been doing a lot of hosting for BET the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm doing Access Live, which is Ryan Seacrest's new show. Air on Saturdays. It's like the new kind of like TRL, you know.
Right.
A lot of celebs and stuff like that. So that's cool. And, you know, working on the music. Got this album dropping next year called Music of the Future. Real
mm-hmm.
top 40, okay. Fun, party, live music, you know. And, it's that's what I've been doing. So I've just been really traveling, doing shows, doing my film stuff. I got a couple of cool movies coming out next year. No Weapons Formed Against Us with my man Tiny Lister, Josie Thacker, and then this other movie called Trigger with Matt Cohen. So, we're trying to keep
nice.
It going.
Yeah, congrats on that.
Thank you. It's working.
Right. Man, I remember I did a cameo in one of your music videos with Wesley Johnson. I remember when my people called me about it because I was pregnant with my first kid, and I was like, okay, well, I got to go support, but okay, wait, let me find a top where I don't look too pregnant in the club.
you one of those.
I remember that. That was our league, my group, the league. That was a video called Times Two, and you came through Wesley, Keith Robinson, Dante Bosco. I mean, we had a lot of Tech Money. A lot of people came through and showed up on that video.
Yeah, it was major love on that video. I had to do it, though. I was just like, man, that was like the last thing I did until I gave birth, man. But I did it. My mom was like, a girl. I was like, man, I got to. I was like, okay, the top is cool. All right, good. I just won't turn to the side. And then we're good.
I'm going to keep doing that so I get breath on a set.
But, yeah, man, you've definitely been doing it. I've got your single, so I'm going to drop Lose My Mind. And I heard that, oh, my God, like, that had me bobbing my head like crazy, dude, like, seriously.
Yeah, we dropped Lose My Mind. It's out now on iTunes. So, please, everybody, go support your boy, Sam Future Sarpong, Sarpong. Lose My Mind is out right now. I've been touring everywhere with it. Like, just recently we did Staples Center. I just did Hard Rock Cafe in L.A., R&B Live. I mean, we're doing shows everywhere right now. People are really feeling the single. So,
just
ask people to go support it.
All right, well, we're about to drop a single, and then after the single plays, we're going to ask you some more questions. Sound good?
All right, let's do it.
All right, you're listening to the Evening Showdown on Die House Radio, about to drop a single, Lose My Mind. Boom!
Hands up in the air, and I'm twisted. Music beating loud, 808 up in the system. We just living and party all the time. Now order some Patron and watch me lose my mind.
Right? I mean, it's right. I ain't gonna leave, it's just a friend tonight. I wanna take you home. my favorite town. Any different when Sam's around?
All right.
All right.
Lovely.
Yo, it just takes me back to Vegas. I just want to go to Vegas when I hear that.
That was the whole, you know, premise of the song. It's just like for everybody to forget your stresses, forget the economy, forget the kids, just lose your mind. When you go out just for that night, lose your mind and worry about everything tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Right.
I definitely, you definitely achieved that effect on that song.
Okay. You know, me being a mommy, I need that song.
Yeah, everybody needs it. I got to shout out my boy Kivas and Young Nice, who co-wrote that and came up with the track and the whole concept. So definitely want to shout out my future stars, Click. Couldn't do it without them.
Now, question, because you've been really successful in with the modeling, the acting, and the music. And for anyone trying to get into the industry, like, normally it's kind of hard. Like, either the acting is popping or that dies down, and then they try to do the music, then the music is popping, then that dies down, and then they try to do modeling. But never is it all three. And you've always had pretty much, you know, a lot of success with doing all three. Like, what would be your advice, and how do you go about it?
I would just, I always say as an entertainer, I'm definitely, like, in a unique position because it's like I'm not an A-list name yet, but it's like I've been one of those cats that's consistent, you know, and I've been in this game 12, 13 years, and I've consistently worked in all four fields, throwing hosting. I've always had a show on TV as a host, so I've been really, really, really blessed, and I think the key I would say is just that I'm always me. You know, like if I'm up for a job or if I'm auditioning, I always just bring Sam to it and my flavor. Because you got to think about it. If you're up for roles and there's 50 people you're up against or 100 people, the only thing at the end of the day, talent is cool, but you got to find your little nuances that makes you different. And I was just telling a friend today that's a model, because she was like, damn, you work so much. You always working. And I was like, you know, it's not that I'm the most talented person in the world, but I know what my strengths are. You know, and Sam is very connected to Sam. And as a talent, when you're really connected to yourself, you're going to book. Because when you walk in those rooms, they can't shake you.
Right.
Wow.
And I think that's what the key is, no matter who it is. Jay-Z, Will Smith, Lil Wayne, Justin Bieber, like whoever it is, they really are in touch with themselves. Like they know what their specialty is. And I think that is the key to working in this business because, you know, as a producer or a movie producer, you know, you have so much choice. It's 200 people that come in and read. So what's going to make you different than all them 200 people they saw before you? You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's being you, bringing your life experiences to that character.
Yeah, you know, you're definitely right about that. And I've seen so many people just being in the auditions where they were so confident, but the minute, let's just say,
a known name walked in the door, you just saw all their confidence just hit the floor. Like, oh,
yep.
Like they automatically shut this door out.
And it's funny because that's how I used to be until I started seeing that a lot of times you think they're going to go with that name and sometimes they won't because either they want somebody totally new. Like one thing I've learned, you do not know what these producers are thinking. You have no idea. I've seen people walk in that haven't done nothing beat me out for parts. You know what I'm saying? And I've got a resume. And then I've seen me beat out for people that I used to watch up growing. I grew up watching them on TV. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can't worry about that. I used to be in that. I used to get so freaked out when I would see people. Like when I first started, I'd be like, "What? He was in Medical Society? Damn! You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, oh, he was in so and so. Damn, he's on Family Matters. He's on this. You know, but you just at the end of the day, just do you, man. Because if it's yours, it's yours. If it's not, it's not. Like that's the bottom line. It's so chill. We as actors and entertainers, we put way too much on it.
Yeah, you know.
That's another thing. When I was auditioning, I had to tell myself too because he's in the same seat that I am. Even though I recognize him on television or he's done stuff or been in some big movies, he has to go through that same casting door just like I have to. If he didn't, he would already be in there or he would have went in the back door and got the part already. But because he's coming the same way I am, he has to compete with me and everything. I don't even look at competing anymore. I did when I was unconscious back in the day. I'm like, oh, man, you know, trying to fight people out and, you know. But at the end of the day, I want to ask you, Sam, what do you say to yourself when you end the audition? How do you keep yourself grounded or calm? Or some people, you know, do a quick prayer. Some people jump up and down. I've seen people in the bathroom working out. I've seen all kinds of stuff. People reading lines with somebody next to them.
I pray and then I just, like, connect with God right before I walk in. And that's the only thing because, you know, I just have to be calm and just be myself. And when I'm connected to God, I feel like that. I feel because I always say, like, at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's Him. So the only thing I pray for is that He can shine through me and I can do me. Not that I get the part. Shine through me and do me. Because if I do me and they don't want me, I walk out of there 100% content. The only time I ever get mad in auditions is when I don't perform to what I know I've been working on. Then I get mad because they didn't see the real Sam. They saw somebody else. But if they see Sam and they don't pick me, I'm 100% content. I'm cool. Like, wouldn't even think about the part twice as long as they saw Sam. But a lot of times as actors, they never get to see the real you because you're nervous, you're scared, and you psych yourself up. So they don't even get to see the real you. It's really sad. Like, I'm very experienced now, so I can really talk from a place of what I used to be and where I am now. And what I used to be, I see so many actors going through this. It's like you walk out of the room and you're like, damn, I wasn't even me, yo. My acting coach told me the best thing anybody could ever tell me. And she said, when you go on an audition, show them that Sam that your friends like to be around. Show them that. If you show them that, you've done your job. That fun Sam that's funny as hell, that's charming, that's show them that Sam. That Sam that your friends constantly want to be around. I was like, damn, you know what? It's so true because a lot of the roles that I particularly go out for, they're so much like me anyway. So she was like, show them that. She said, if you show them that, you've done your part. So that's always my goal is to show them the little nuances and craziness and the funniness and my little mannerisms, all that, bring that to the character. Because most of the time, I mean, let's be real, you're going to be auditioning for stuff that's so much like you anyway because the way casting is, they're not, until you really blow up, they only see you in a few boxes anyway. They see you as one, two. A casting director told me that. She said, Sam, we only see you as one, two, maybe three things. But most people, until you really blow, they see you as one or two roles, and that's it. And you're going to keep cast. If you study anybody's career, I don't care if it's Denzel or whoever, study them in their early days. They played the same role over and over. And then you get that breakthrough role, and then they can see you as more things because you've blown up already. But initially, You either gonna be funny, you're gonna be the boyfriend, you're gonna be a thug, you're gonna they box us, and it is what it is. But when you get boxed, work as much as you can, and then you just gotta pray that you get that right role that can show, hey, you know what, there's more to me than this.
Right.
So let me ask you this also: if you had, if there's a five commandments to this acting thing, what would be your five in the game? Like the Ten Commandments, the five commandments?
Like basically the necessities of acting?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to think about that more, to be honest with you, but to go off the head, I would say, number one, study. Study your craft. You know, two, always communicate with your agent. Have a good demo reel. Be you. You know, be you is a huge one. Be you. So demo reel, communicate with your agent. Be you, study. And last but not least, I don't know. I'd have to think about the fifth one. But I think those other four, if you really do what you need to do, I think those other four will really keep you working, you know?
Right.
Okay.
Well, man.
Because that's all we really want to do.
Man, definitely, especially in the industry right now, especially in the reality world that we're having. Like, what do you think about that, how everything is kind of switched from script to reality TV?
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of it, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, if that's what people want to see, that's what people want to see. I think eventually it will die down, but you know, right now it's what's hot, and you have the biggest stars in the world doing it now. So it's like that's what's hot. But you know, I miss the days of, you know, scripted television and drama and series and all that, you know.
Me too, because that was my work.
Yeah. Now it's like, you know, you got reality stars that are taking movie roles away from us, you know?
Yeah, and actually I've been getting hit with the non-union. Like, I've had people come to me and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's non-union. I'm like, well, I'm union, so I can't really do that. Oh, well, so-and-so will do it. I'm like, well, you're just going to have to go with so-and-so then, because, you know, I've been in the union. I'm not trying to get kicked out.
I get it.
Right. You know, I'm running into that because of reality TV, they kind of made it where the stuff that we won't do, that they're like, oh, well, we'll do it. So, of course, they're easily going for the non-union. But like you say, I mean, it's hot right now. Eventually it's going to die down just like everything does. And then, you know.
Yeah, it will. You know, it's been hot. It's had its time, and, you know, it definitely will eventually die down.
Right. Okay, well, man, I want to thank you so much for calling in. But before you go, can you give a shout-out to the Evening Showdown on Dow House Radio?
Yo, Evening, how do you say it again?
The Evening Showdown.
On Dow House Radio?
Yup.
Yo, I want to give a shout-out to Evening Showdown on Dow House Radio. Thank you so much for having me on. You guys keep supporting. I'm going to keep supporting y'all. Follow me at Mr. MR Sam Sarpong, SARPONG. And I hope to be back. And y'all just get that single, Lose My Mind. Evening Showdown. It goes down on the Evening Showdown.
Yes, for sure. Hit up the iTunes.
All right,
thank you.
Love.
Ooh, man. It's been a good show. But
I got a lot out of that one. So, I mean, when Sam was talking about basically how he was just, you know, being himself, you know, that's big, because I used to lose my mind on the auditions and stuff. So, yeah, I got a lot of that out of that myself.
Yeah, it's definitely been some gems. We ought to keep pushing because, you know, show's almost over, but we have cards to Jordan, who's going to drop, you know, that Hollywood gossip jewels. Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
What's up? How are y'all doing?
Oh, man.
Y'all started getting into some gossip. I'm like, hold up. Are we talking about Rihanna yet? I ain't calling
in. I'm not, right?
I just turned off. I'm like, see, I can't be listening to it all because I want to call in and make some comments.
Yeah, I couldn't help it, man. Rihanna, the picture popped up again. I was just like, dang, Rihanna looks bad on this cover.
Rihanna is, you know, she'll get naked if you just offer her some flaming Cheetos. You know what I'm saying? Like, she don't mind, like, taking it off. She'll do it for free. I mean, if you want follow her Instagram, she'll put a semi-new picture out and call it a day.
That is true. Damn. That's no lie.
Which is what I love about her. Like, I want to do that. I want to take a half-naked picture wearing, like, a wedding veil, which she, like, tweeted, you know, posted on her Instagram last week. But,
I need to go back on her Instagram. I've been slacking.
I know. Her Instagram is off the hook. Like, she'll be like, oh, yeah, this is me getting out of bed. And you just see, like, you know, a little suggestive shot. But, you know, Rihanna, that gives me nothing new. You know, if she was covered from head to toe, I'd be like, oh, shit. But, but I love it. I love that she's so open with her body, with her sexuality, her sensuality. I think it's just amazing to have a black female in that space without it being seen as sleazy. Like, I love when a celebrity of her caliber can sort of open herself up and to being judged, you know, basically, you know, making herself naked to the world, you know, physically, literally, and, like, figuratively. Anyway, the GQ Men of the Year cover that she did is hot, 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 hot. Her body is hot. You know, of course, it's a little Photoshop. I mean, no cover without that.
A little Photoshop didn't hurt nobody.
A little Photoshop ain't never hurt nobody. So I think that's amazing. Now, if it was Beyonce doing that pose, then I'd be like, oh, shit. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. Can we curse?
Yes, you can.
If it was Bae doing that, then I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, can you believe Bae got on the cover? But she, I don't think she'll. You think she'll ever do something like that?
No, I don't think Jay would even let that pop.
Now, speaking of RiRi, you know, her and Chris Brown are on a media tour, which, you know, last time we spoke, he talked about Chris Brown's sort of ban of the media for a year, which didn't last because that was less than a year ago. But, you know, when motherfuckers got shit to promote, they'd be like, okay, let me get on, you know, on a couple of media sites. So he just sat down with, you know, Terrence J from E! He sat down with Big Boy. He's doing interviews. So, you know, the publicist is saying you can only ask about, you know, fashion, or you can only ask about, you know, his charity or whatever, which nobody really wants to ask about because it's his best. But Rihanna has been doing an publicity tour for her Unapologetic album, but they're both denying that they're back together. They're both, like, going out there saying, no, we're not together. I'm like, we're not stupid. Like, do we have stupid written across our foreheads? Like, y'all are obviously banging and back together in the studio, at the club, at each other's hotel, tweeting each other on Instagram, like, y'all niggas is back together.
They're just banging buddies. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, do you think it's smart that they're trying to, like, just kind of play nonchalant about it, or should they, like, just confess it? Like, hey, we're together. Like,
They need to confess it because she's already losing endorsements. She already lost one. I think it was Lanevia or something.
Yeah.
She lost that one. Apparently, she's losing friends. But, I mean, that part right there, I'm like, I had to put an emphasis on friends because, really?
Yeah.
But, you know, if people aren't dumb. I think it's a little bit too late.
Friends, you know that much.
Yeah, exactly. Not at all. Even though people try to say, oh, yeah, they agreed on sharing. No, okay, in what world? I think that they just need to go ahead and admit it because, I mean, it's too late to be trying to save face. Well, actually, for Rihanna, because, I mean, Chris is good. Chris isn't, from what I hear, he's not hurting on anything. Like, they're not dropping him. She's the one that's, you know, getting dropped. And I'm just like, it's not really worth it. I mean, you obviously, you did what you did. It's clear you guys are together. It's clear that broke up a relationship. Go ahead and be out there because if you're not claiming it, then it's just making it look like you guys are just, like I said, banging partners. Okay, so what? That's even better?
It's making her look like a homewrecker. It's like Carucci was all happy and running around in Ferrari and stuff, and then here comes the big, like, gigantic Amazon woman Rihanna to come Superman away from her. It's just bad.
Exactly.
I want to be in a courtroom when he has to go see the judge again, and he's asking, "All right, are you been around Rihanna?" Or, you know, because he's on parole again with that stuff. So I want to just listen and see what he's going to say about that, because that's violation.
No, because she dropped. She asked the court to drop the restraining order or the no contact.
Yep, she did.
Sort of clause in the probation. So, yeah.
That was at the beginning of the year, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, I think they slowly like planned this out, you know. But she's doing very well on the charts with her new music, you know, Diamonds, and she premiered her new song on Saturday Night Live this past Saturday, which is a ballad, which is like Rihanna singing a ballad. What the hell? But it's a ballad called Stay. So she's trying to show her little singing chops, you know, see if she can push out a slow, groovy ballad to show that she's not just, you know, a girl that gets naked, but actually has talent. So, you know, I'm still on the fence about the song, but you can go to coffinjordan.com if you want to hear it, and, you know, tell me your thoughts. But
I was going to say, is there any more gossip? Because, you know, we got like about 5 more minutes before the show.
Oh, yeah. You know, NeNe Leakes, you know, the Real Housewives of Atlanta premiered last week, and it broke ratings, you know, on Bravo, the highest rated premiere on Bravo ever. And NeNe Leakes is saying it's because of her. You know, she's saying she is the brand. The reason the show is successful is because of her. And she was on the Insider saying that if it wasn't for her, there would be no Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I don't know how I feel about that. You know, is she the brand of the show or isn't she? We shall see.
Right.
We shall definitely see when she leaves. But there, you know, it's not hard to find a girl that will go there fight and fight a bitch. You know, so
be ratchet.
Yeah, be ratchet. Like, you think you're the show, but trust me, there's a girl that's waiting that is more ratchet and that will slap a bitch quicker than you. And once they put her on the show, people will be like, NeNe who?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't require much. Being loudmouth and crazy and fighting and acting a fool, yeah, there's girls standing in line to be that, okay?
Right.
So,
no lie.
No lie. Also, remember Miaia Campbell?
Yes.
Now she is, which is a very smart idea, she is going to appear on Ayana Van Zandt's Fix My Life, but they have like a on-own. But they have a new version of it where it's like Fix My Celebrity Life or Fix the Fallen Star or something to that effect. So now she's going after fallen like stars that, you know, have fallen from grace and reconnecting them with their family and fans and fixing their life, which I think is super smart because I don't want to see regular people get their life fixed. Like, that's boring. Like, oh, you're a transvestite who family disowned them, a snooze fest, you know. But you're a celebrity who was on drugs and went to rehab. Okay, I'll watch that, you know. So they're going the celebrity route with the Fix My Life, which is very smart because it's, you know, immediate ratings.
Right.
And
it's going to go up.
Yeah, it's going to blow up. And they did the Evan Lozada one that they did very well for the network.
I can't wait to see that one. She's like my big sis. I love her. And I was super excited. I'm like, okay, I think this is like that push that she needed just to be, you know, put back in front of her fans because so many people wanted to know what happened. And some people who aren't on Twitter didn't even realize that she's already made a comeback, you know?
And people that are experts at interviewing people, like, you know, she's done interviews with like Boss Up and random ass blogs. It's like, okay, they don't know how to pull out the emotions of what she actually went through, like an Ayana, and present a solution to her issue. So we want to see the full scope of what happened to her, not some soundbite from a blog from an interviewer that has no idea how to engage in a celebrity interview. You know.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Also, CeeLo, you know, he's been involved in like this major scandal where this lady claims that he dropped some ecstasy in her drink in a downtown restaurant in LA and sexually assaulted her.
What?
Yeah. So CeeLo is in this sexual assault case. He's being investigated right now by the LAPD. As the facts come out, you're seeing more and more that CeeLo and this woman actually have had a long-term relationship. They've been you know, dating off and on for a few years now, and obviously they've had a sexual relationship, so the people are starting to question what her motives is, saying that, you know, she presented it was a one-night stand, and he put the drugs, and he went and had sex. And she said she was blacked out, but most experts say ecstasy doesn't black you out, so what the fuck are you talking about? And Sheila,
right.
It's like, that's the last thing it does. And not that I know, because I don't do that, but...
Right.
But Sheila has come out with a statement saying that he's the victim of, you know, sort of like this woman who is accusing him of trying to, you know, extort money from him. And he's saying that the accusations are despicable, untrue, and hurtful, and he's going to fight them. So it's interesting to see how that pans out, because the rumor is that they're already trying to replace him on The Voice because of this.
Yeah,
wow.
He better hurry up, and he's going to need to fight them.
Yeah, messing with his money now. That's not good.
Yeah. When you're messing with your money, it's time to shut a bitch down. So.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much.
To put it in simple terms.
Right. Well, here's another piece of gossip before the show ends.
Well, Beyonce is back in the studio. So if you are a female artist and you haven't prepared and released your album before the top of 2013, you might want to rush it, you know. Because Bay season is upon us. You better get your jackets and your winter coats, because she is going to own the top part of 2013. And she recently joined Instagram, which, you know, she's social media and network, so she's on Instagram. So she's been Instagramming pictures of her, you know, in the studio, ready to play. So
what's her official page?
Baddie Bay, BaddieBey, which is really cute. That's her official Instagram page, is Baddie Bay. And she posts stuff, you know, here and there, and it's really like, I think it's a warning. It's like warning shots. It's like, this is me in the studio. And it's really like, bitches, I'm in the studio, you know.
Right.
You're like,
I'm
on the mic, you know, with Diane Warren and with Miguel and with Frank Ocean. I'm like, oh, she's really letting you know that whatever songs y'all did with these three motherfuckers previously ain't got shit on what I'm about to do with them. So,
right. Oh, wow.
You know, it's going to be interesting. And she's preparing to perform halftime at the Super Bowl, so it's going to be a very big year for her. I'm sure she'll debut one of her songs at the Super Bowl.
Wow. Yeah. That was some juicy gossip. That was a good way to end our show.
Yeah.
You know me. I get it
right.
In.
Yeah, no? Well, man, I can't wait to the next show, because I want to hear some more.
You want to hear some more of that?
Well, man, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Evening Showdown on Dial House Radio, and all our guests, Naira All Day and Sam Sarpline. And definitely got to thank Carlton Jordan for always coming in and hitting us with that juicy gossip.
Thank you for having me.
I know some of that was like the first time that you heard it here, so remember, you heard it on the Evening Showdown, okay?
Yeah.
But all right, until next week, Monday, same time, 6 p.m., Pacific Coast time. Keep doing what you do. Love you guys. Mwah.
Yeah.
Hands up in the air, and I'm twisting. Music being loud, 808 up in the system. We just living and party all the time. Now order some Patron and watch me lose my mind.
system, we just live it. And party all the time. Now order some Patron and watch me lose my